Chapter 2. The War Against Blefuscu. Near the Emperor's palace was an ancient temple, the largest in the whole kingdom. It was decided that I would live there. The king's workers put 400 chains through a window of the temple, like those that hang from a lady's watch in Europe, which were locked around my left leg with 50 padlocks. Over 100,000 inhabitants came to see me, and about 10,000 of them climbed onto my body with the help of ladders. But a law was soon made by the emperor to forbid this. When the workmen decided that the chains were strong enough and that it was impossible for me to escape, they cut all the strings that tied me down. I stood up, feeling very sad. The chains that held my left leg only allowed me to walk backwards and forwards a little bit and to crawl into the temple and lie down when I wanted to sleep. Then the emperor came to visit me. He was a handsome, elegant man, slightly taller than the rest of the people, almost as tall as my middle finger. He tried for 3 hours to speak with me, and though I spoke with him in all the languages I knew, we could not understand each other. After he left, some strong guards stayed near me to protect me from the crowds of people. They all came as close to me as they could, and some of them shot their arrows at me as I sat on the ground by the door of my house. But the guards ordered 6 of the bandits to be seized and decided the best punishment for them was to be put, tied up, into my hands. I put 5 of them into my coat pocket and made a face at the 6 as if I wanted to eat him alive. The poor man was terrified, and the army and guards were afraid, especially when they saw me take out my penknife. But they felt relieved when I cut the strings the man was tied up with, set him gently on the ground, and he ran away. I treated the rest in the same way, and I saw that the soldiers and the people were very pleased by my kindness. The emperor spent a lot of time talking about me with the wise men of his court. They discussed what could happen if I broke loose, and that feeding me would be very expensive and might cause a famine in the land. Sometimes they decided to starve me, or at least to shoot me with poisoned arrows, which would kill me, but they considered that the smell of so large a dead body might produce sickness in the kingdom. In the middle of these discussions, several officers of the army went to the emperor and described my recent behavior towards the 6 criminals, which made a very good impression on the emperor. He said that every morning all villages in the kingdom had to deliver 40 sheep, 30 oxen, and other food for my meals, as well as a large quantity of bread, wine, and water. He also ordered 600 people to serve me, who lived in tents built on each side of my door. 6 of the greatest scholars of the country were ordered to teach me their language. In about 3 weeks, I had made great progress in learning their language. The emperor was very pleased and often came to talk with me. The first thing I managed to communicate to him was my desire to be free, which I repeated every day on my knees. His answer, as well as I could understand it, was that he needed some time to think about it, and that I must first promise peace with him and his kingdom. My gentleness and behavior had made such a good impression on the emperor and upon the people in general that I began to hope that I would receive my freedom in a short time. The people slowly became less afraid of me, and I sometimes lay down and let 5 or 6 of them dance on my hand, and the children liked to play hide-and-seek in my hair. I asked for my freedom so many times that the emperor eventually sent a messenger to me to inform me that it would be given to me only on certain conditions. The messenger read this out to me. First, the Man Mountain must not leave our kingdom without our permission. Second, he may not enter the city without our order, at which time the inhabitants will have 2 hours of warning to stay inside their homes. Third, as the Man Mountain walks along our roads, he will be very careful not to step upon any people, their horses or carriages, nor take any people into his hands without their agreement. Fourth, he must be our ally against our enemies on the island of Blefuscu and do everything possible to destroy their ships, which are now preparing to attack us. In exchange for keeping all of the above promises, the emperor stated that I would receive meat and drink every day. I promised to follow these requests, and my chains were immediately unlocked, and I was free. One morning, about 2 weeks after I had been set free, Regisel, a member of the emperor's court, came to my house. He asked if he could speak with me for about an hour or so. I offered to lie down so that he could easily reach my ear, but he chose rather to let me hold him in my hand during our conversation. He began by congratulating me on my freedom, but then added, if it had not been for the present situation in the country, perhaps I might not have received it so soon. For there is danger of an invasion by a very powerful enemy, he explained. The land of Lilliput is threatened with an invasion from the island of Blefuscu, which is the other great empire in the world, almost as large and powerful as this one. The great difference between the people of Lilliput and Blefuscu is which end of an egg we should break before we eat it. In Lilliput, we break our eggs at the small end. In Blefuscu, they break their eggs at the big end. A bloody war has continued between the two empires for a long time because of this, during which time we have lost 40 ships and 30,000 of our best sailors and soldiers. Now the enemy has prepared a large group of ships to attack us, and the emperor, believing in your courage and strength, has commanded me to explain this problem to you. I asked Regisel to tell the emperor that I was ready to defend his kingdom against all invaders. The empire of Blefuscu is separated from Lilliput by water. I walked towards the coast across from Blefuscu, and lying down behind a hill, took out my small telescope. I saw the enemy ships sitting in the harbor, about 50 of them. I then returned to my house and asked for a great quantity of the strongest cable and bars of iron. The cable was about as thick as the string used in England to tie up packages, and the bars were the size of knitting needles. I braided the cables to make them stronger, and twisted the iron bars together, making hooks. After attaching 50 hooks to the cables, I went back to the coast. I took off my coat, shoes, and socks, and walked into the sea. I walked most of the way and swam in the middle where it was deeper. The people of Blefuscu were so frightened when they saw me that they jumped out of their ships and swam to the shore. I took the cables with the iron hooks on the ends and attached a hook to the end of each ship, and then I tied all the cables together. While I was doing this, the enemy shot several thousand arrows at me, many of which struck me in my hands and face. They hurt badly and made my work difficult. When all the hooks were attached, I took the cables in my hand and began to pull. I easily pulled all 50 of the enemy's largest warships after me as I swam back through the water to Lilliput. When the inhabitants of Blefuscu saw me begin to pull their ships away, they screamed with grief and despair. I pulled the ships through the water and arrived safely at the royal port of Lilliput.